fifth case, the United States versus Curry. Ms. Goodridge?
Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning, government. Sorry.
Her name is Ms. Brady.
I know her. We're here on United States of America versus Tony Curry. Tony's case, he was convicted of conspiracy to distribute cocaine base and cocaine, as well as count six, possession of a firearm. That was the 922 count, not in relation to a drug offense. He was sentenced after he filed a petition for a plea of guilty and pursuant to a plea agreement. There are three issues in the brief. The first two are related to a motion to suppress evidence, which was, put together and advocated before the trial court, so it's raised on appeal. I believe that those two issues are fully briefed, and the court can consider it as it appears in the record. The third issue is what I really want to talk about, and that's the Dorsey issue. While Mr. Curry's appeal was pending, of course, Dorsey was passed, and the effect of Dorsey in this case is, number one, I believe it's clearly applicable. This was pre-Fair Sentencing Act conduct. Mr. Curry was sentenced post-act effective date. He qualifies under Dorsey for the application of the 18-to-1 ratio as compared to the 100-to-1 ratio for consideration of minimum mandatory sentencing. He clearly should have been sentenced in the range of 5 years as a minimum mandatory and not 10 years. If the court examines what was actually admitted to at his change of plea hearing, he admitted to, I believe, between 91 and 94 grams of cocaine base. There was a relevant conduct finding of 10 ounces, which is 280 and a half grams. But that was not admitted to by him. So the Booker Fanfan issue, the Blakely issue, says that the proper sentencing range was with a 5-year minimum mandatory and not a 10. So, and I don't believe the government disputes the fact that Dorsey says that there's an effect. And where our disagreement is, I presume, is what is the proper remedy?
And was counsel, this issue raised at all during, I mean, was this pending or something? Did someone bring it up as a possibility of that this may change? I'm just curious if this is discussed, because it seems that the court was pretty concerned. And he's not a career offender, but nevertheless, he had a pretty good criminal history, and the court took that into consideration.
I don't believe so. If you examine the transcripts, Mr. Curry was colloquied by the district court with regard to a 10-year minimum mandatory. The petition for a change of plea agreement designated a 10-year minimum mandatory. There was the advisement. His original advisements were all with regard to a 10-year minimum mandatory. At his change of plea hearing, he had asked specific questions of the district court himself with regard to what guidelines would be used, but those were in reference to guidelines and retroactivity of the guidelines in the 18-to-1 ratio as compared to the 100-to-1 ratio and not the retroactivity of the statutory minimum mandatory. However, there was a sentencing brief, it's my understanding, that was filed with the district court, in which Mr. Curry was encouraging his counsel to assert and argue that his base offense level should have been a base offense level 26. And that was based upon the, I believe, 173 approximate grams of powder cocaine and the 91 to 94 grams of base, as compared to the plea agreement, which set forth a base offense level of 32. With acceptance of responsibility, of course, it would have been 23, with 70 as the low end. 70 months is the low end of the applicable guideline range at 23 Category 4. Or, as compared to what he did receive, which was 121 months, which was the low end of base offense level 29 at Criminal History Category 4. So, no. What I think happened here is, I think the court sentenced him believing that the 10-year minimum mandatory was in place, that Seventh Circuit law existing at that date says that there was no retroactivity with regard to minimum mandatories, and because the minimum mandatory was at 120 months, that became the low end of the guidelines. And then its analysis, the court says, well, let's look at this. And the low end of the guideline range is 120 months. The recommended guideline range is 121 months. I believe this is reasonable. The problem is, in light of Dorsey, the court made its decision. The defendant made its decisions. The government negotiated its plea agreement. Everyone made their decisions based upon inaccurate standards, the wrong measuring stick. So the government wants to treat this more like a Booker Fanfan limited remand. I don't think that can be done. Because if you're looking at a five-year minimum mandatory, 60 months, recommended guideline range at a base offense level 26, which becomes a 23, you're looking at much smaller terms.
What's the eventual, what's the bottom line? Want it to withdraw his plea?
That's
expose himself to a potentially significant different sentence here, Mr. Goodridge?
That's my second prong of why I think it needs to be remanded.
It
puts me as appellate counsel in an incredibly difficult situation where I either have to say, well, I understand that the government can try to come back with additional relevant conduct or with other conduct that's now discovered since my client's been in prison and now his advisory guideline range isn't going to be a base offense level 32, it's going to be a base offense level 38. Should I withdraw the appeal? You know, should this be something I just give up because of that risk? I can't make those decisions. What I think needs to happen is the entire matter needs to be remanded to the district court. Even if he withdrew from the plea agreement, he would have the option of just maintaining his plea of guilty and pleading open to the court, let the court fashion its own sentence.
Well, he didn't object to the pre-sentence report, right?
He did object, but those were withdrawn on the morning of a sentencing hearing. That creates a whole – and I don't want to cross into the realm of 2255. I'm very much aware of Chief Justice Easterbrook's stern cautions with regard to doing that on direct appeal, and I do not want to do that.
Now you've discussed this all with him, haven't you?
Oh, I've had many conferences with Mr. Curry.
And he knows you're here today doing this.
Absolutely.
So,
as a matter of fact, I asked for additional time in this case to confer with him at prison, and I traveled to Grayson County prior to entering my appearance and met with him in person. Mm-hmm. So I've met him personally and corresponded with him at prison.
He's got 120 months on a gun possession, right?
The 120 months is only reasonable, however, if you look at the base offense level 14, criminal history category 4, that's a 20-month guideline range. That's the 120 months statutory maximum reserved for the worst of the worst. It doesn't comport to the guidelines. And without there being 121 month on count 1 and it being run concurrently, it's entirely dependent upon count 1 in that sentence, in that calculation. Otherwise, I don't believe it's sustainable as a fair sentence at all.
To remand for that reason, too, then?
Both, yes.
Thank you, Ms. Goodridge.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Brady?
Good morning. May it please the Court, Michelle Brady on behalf of the United States. Unless the Court does have questions regarding...
I do.
Yes, ma'am.
You pointed out in your brief that at sentencing, Judge Barker said that the 10-year minimum term, which she was assuming to be mandatory, was a reasonable sentence. But she never actually said, I would impose the same sentence, even if the Fair Sentencing Act applied.
Your Honor, I would agree if she did not say those words.
What should we do?
Well, Your Honor, I do believe that affirming the judgment of conviction is appropriate in this case, given the district court's statements regarding her belief as to the reasonableness of the sentence, irrespective of the mandatory minimum, which, of course, the government concedes was erroneous at the time, or now in light of Dorsey. The district court said, when she issued the sentence, she did say that we know that the 10 years is the mandatory minimum, which, of course, was incorrect. But she said, it seems to be a reasonable sentence under the circumstances, not only because of what the law requires, referencing what we believed was the mandatory minimum, and then she discussed 3553 factors. She said, but given the nature and circumstances of the offense, given your criminal history, including she had mentioned it in another point in the sentencing, the fact that he was on home detention when he was committing the offense, and she pointed that out as an aggravating factor. She talked about his problems with addiction, his willingness to participate in the drug conspiracy, and then she was particularly bothered by the firearm involved, and particularly given his prior conviction for a handgun-related offense. So I think the district court was very clear that she stated she believed that 121-month sentence, which was and remains the guideline, within guideline sentence, that was the reasonable, that is the appropriate sentence in this case. I do believe that she spoke clearly on that, and there can be no real question as to what would occur in light of her now understanding, as we all now understand, that as charged, it was in fact a 5-year mandatory minimum, not the 10-year mandatory minimum that we all believed. I think, well, again, she didn't say the words, I would give the sentence regardless. She did very clearly indicate that is the case in this particular matter.
Ms. Brady, what's the harm of a limited remand to eliminate any doubt on that?
Your Honor,
because you have a sentence where she has to accept or reject, right?
She does. That's correct. That's correct.
In that kind of, I won't say unique circumstances, but I don't think we've quite had this case yet. Wouldn't caution maybe suggest a limited remand to see if the judge was of the same mind, factoring in the new minimum?
Your Honor, I would concede that a limited remand to ensure that is in fact the case would not, there is no harm in that. I believe a full remand, vacating the judgment of conviction, there is harm, not to the government, but there's definitely potential harm to the defendant appellant. It's very clear from the record, a 10-year mandatory minimum offense occurred. The pre-sentence investigation makes it clear that the amount of crack cocaine involved in this conspiracy was well in excess of 280 grams. So what we have, if this is remanded for the judgment is vacated, what we have is a district court who, now that's assuming the grand jury did supersede if and when it would be presented with that superseding indictment to appropriately categorize this crime as a 10-year mandatory minimum. But the district court would be looking at an individual who is facing a 10-year mandatory minimum with guidelines of at least 121 to 151 months. If there are no further questions, I thank the court very much for its time.
Thank you.
Mr. Goodwin, your time has expired, but you may have an additional minute if you wish to comment.
I don't think a Booker fan limited remand is the right answer for this reason. With a lower minimum mandatory sentence, there were other options available to Mr. Curry, especially in light of the fact that Dorsey says that the district court has the authority to sentence below the recommended guideline range up to or down to the statutory minimum.
You don't think that was in the cards, do you?
What
you don't think that was in the cards, do you?
What do you mean? I apologize. I don't understand the
question. Well, I mean, you know, we do have the transcript of...
Yes, ma'am.
You don't think that Judge Barker would have gone below?
I don't know what she would do, because a lot of his mitigation wasn't presented.
Below the five-year mandatory minimum? Did I misunderstand?
I don't think the court would go below the five-year minimum mandatory.
Right.
But the court could go down to that, or it could say 120 months
then
is unreasonable.
Then why is a limited remand a problem?
Because I think there's the risk that he didn't present certain evidence or arguments to the trial court in its consideration of whether it would accept the plea agreement or not. As the government says, well, he didn't object. Well, objections were withdrawn. They were withdrawn under the impression that there was a 10-year minimum mandatory. The law doesn't require to do anyone to do a useless act. There's no way around the minimum mandatory. It's dictated by your criminal history. Well, that's not the fact. And what I think he needs in this situation, especially where the government says that he is in peril, and I understand their perspective, is he needs boots on the ground. He needs a competent, capable defense attorney to consult and confer with him before the district court.
Well, so that I understand,
yeah.
Ms. Goodridge, if you would want not a limited remand, you'd want a total remand, and his position would be what? That he want he, to reflect upon whether he'd enter a plea agreement with the government if offered?
It's exactly what I say in my brief. Number one, persistent in the plea agreement, which is my understanding he doesn't want to do that. Number two, he can just plea open to the court, and that was always an option for him. Just plead guilty. You know, the plea agreement that was tendered to him was 121 months, which was a minimal sentence in light of the minimum mandatory. He could have just begged for mercy, and I have clients that do that every day in federal court.
Thank you, Mr. Goodman.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case taken under advisement.